Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to give you an update on what's happening in Pakistan. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Pakistan is in a dire situation right now. It urgently needs a bailout. And it's been in discussions with the IMF for the last 12 months to try to release an additional $1 billion to get the country back up on its feet. And the IMF actually went to Pakistan on the 31st of January and spent 10 days with the government trying to thrash out a deal. But unfortunately, that visit has now ended and no deal is in place. So in today's video, I'll provide you with an update on the current situation. We'll have a look at what's happening with regards to trade, imports, exports, the balance of trade, where we are with regards to inflation, because that's starting to take off again. We'll also have a look at what's been going on with the Pakistani rupee, what the latest position is with regards to the foreign currency reserves. Last time I posted a video, Pakistan had around 30 days worth of reserves left. It's now been reported that they're down to about 16 days. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think's likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm not talking about months in this video, we're talking about weeks. The clock is very much ticking for Pakistan. Time is running out. They are sitting on the edge of a disaster. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel, because one of the things I've been able to do is buy this sign. And if you missed it from a previous video, I'll give you a bit of a demonstration. So there we go. There's some flashing sign. Actually, I can change the speed of it. So there's lots of different things you can do with it. So there we go. Hopefully, I'll be able to show you some more exciting things in the next video. Anyway, let's get back to the matter at hand and talk about Pakistan. One of the reasons that Pakistan is in such a dire situation is that it's a net importer. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that this is a common theme amongst a lot of countries that are in difficulty right now. Countries that have to import large volumes of oil and other commodities have really suffered over the course of the last 12 months. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a spike in oil prices and gas prices and food prices. And this really put a lot of pressure onto countries like Pakistan. And the problem that Pakistan has is that its main form of income is the export of textiles. It utilizes its low-cost labor workforce to produce lots of textiles, but the problem with those is that they are low margin. So it's exporting low-cost, low-margin textiles and importing very expensive commodities. This chart shows Pakistan's exports over the course of the last 12 months. And the scale on the right-hand side here is shown in Pakistani rupees. And what we can see from this chart is that in the first 6 months of the year, the exports were fairly erratic. In February and March, the total exports were around 500 million Pakistani rupees. The total amount did increase in April, but fell back down again in May. We then saw the record month for the year in June, when exports touched around 600 million Pakistani rupees. However, exports then crashed in July to less than 500 million, bounced back in August and September. And then since October, the level of exports has stabilized at around 500 million Pakistani rupees. And if we now look at the situation for imports, you'll start to understand what the problem is for Pakistan. The scale on this chart is considerably higher, starting at 1 billion rupees and going up to 1.8 billion. And if we look at what's happened to the cost of Pakistan's imports over the last 12 months, you can see that there were large monthly increases in March, April, May and June. And in June, the total cost of all imports was above 1.6 billion Pakistani rupees. The figure did drop back down in July, bounced back up in August and September, came back down again in October, and has risen again in November, December and January. But throughout the last 12 months, the monthly import bill has been consistently above 1 billion rupees. And if we now have a quick look at the oil price chart over the last 12 months, it will give you an indication as to why those import costs have been moving in the way that they have. Immediately following Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February, we saw the price of oil spike above $120, and it remained at high levels through to the middle of June. Now, after that point, we saw a global slowdown, and demand for oil started to reduce, and so prices came down. So if we now jump back to the import graph for Pakistan, you can see that it has a similar profile. In the 4 months between February and June, there were consistent increases in the import costs as a result of those rising prices of oil and gas and food and all of the other commodities. However, since that time, they have come back down, but they're still at consistently high levels. And this chart shows the balance of trade for Pakistan over the last 12 months. And the balance of trade is simply the difference between the value of all of your exports, so the amount that you're being paid, and the cost of all of your imports, so the amount that you're paying out. So it basically shows whether you're making a profit or a loss on your total trade activities. And the scale on the right-hand side of this chart starts at negative 400 million rupees and goes down to negative 1.2 billion rupees. So as you can see, over the course of the last 12 months, Pakistan has run a negative balance of trade and a significantly negative balance of trade in every single month. And what that means is that Pakistan isn't generating enough money from its trade to be able to pay for all of its imports. So it's therefore having to use other resources to buy in oil and food and all of the other essentials. And the two options that Pakistan has are its reserves and debt. Now, its reserves are down to a dangerously low level. It's been reported that they have now dropped below $3 billion, and that equates to around 16 days worth of imports. So Pakistan is now down to less than 3 weeks worth of cash to be able to keep funding this difference between the value of its exports and the cost of its imports. And that's why it's now turning to its only other option, which is to take on more debt. One of the other problems that Pakistan is facing is that it's built up an enormous amount of debt. It's been reported that the total debt is now standing at 62.5 trillion rupees. And there are two problems when you build up that amount of debt. Firstly, you run out of options to actually draw any more debt. You hit your credit limit. Nobody wants to actually give you any more debt. And secondly, the interest coupon that you have to pay on that debt becomes so large and unmanageable that it has the potential to put you over the edge into bankruptcy. I thought it'd be interesting to share this chart with you, which shows the interest burden for a number of different countries as a percentage against the total income that the government is receiving. And you can see that Pakistan has been highlighted as the fourth worst country in the world. The interest burden on its debt equates to around 41% of the total income that the government is receiving. So that means that out of $100 of income that the government is receiving, it's having to pay $41 of that in interest costs on its debt. And of course, for a country like Pakistan, which is running a negative balance of trade, so its imports are costing more than all of the money it's receiving anyway, it's totally impossible to be able to make that payment. And the only way of doing it is by taking on more debt. And this is a common theme for a lot of emerging and developing countries. They take on debt to try to advance themselves, to build infrastructure, to get themselves to become more of an advanced economy. But the problem with having to service that debt is that it eats up a lot of capital. And in terms of the long term, it can put your development backwards. So let's have a quick run through this table and see how Pakistan compares to the other emerging and developing countries. Sri Lanka is number one on this chart, and its interest burden equates to more than 84% of its total income. That is completely unmanageable. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that I've posted a number of videos on Sri Lanka. The country is bankrupt and now needs to be completely bailed out. Second on the list is Ghana, where interest payments equate to around 47% of all income. And I am intending to do a video on Ghana at some point soon because Ghana's currency has been the worst performing in the world over the last 12 months. Nigeria comes in at number three with an interest burden of around 44% of total income. As we discussed a minute ago, Pakistan is number four. Egypt is number five with 40%. Zambia is number six with 34%. Kenya number seven with 30%. India number eight with 27%. Bahrain, number 9 at 24%, Bangladesh, number 10 at 22%, El Salvador, also at 22%, number 11, Dominican Republic is next at 21%, Costa Rica, Angola and South Africa have an interest burden equating to around 19%, it's 18% for Uganda, 17% for Brazil, Jamaica and the Ivory Coast, and 16% for Aruba. And I think this chart really highlights the dangers of taking on debt to fund your development. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Pakistan over the course of the last 12 months. So you can see that in February 2022, inflation was running at 12.2%, which in itself is a high rate. And over the course of the next 3 months, it gradually increased up to 13.8% in May. However, in June, we saw a large jump in inflation to 21.3%. And since that time, inflation has remained consistently high. And the latest figure for January is 27.6%, which is the highest that's been seen in Pakistan over the course of the last 12 months. However, if we expand this graph out to show the position over the last 10 years, you can see that the current rates of inflation are off the scale compared to what Pakistan has experienced historically. And the reason that I wanted to show this is that it really highlights the problems within Pakistan. It's not just the governmental issue. It's not just about the government running out of money and not having reserves to be able to buy things in. The people of Pakistan are really suffering. When you've got prices rising by 27%, that means that the cost of living is rising. And because people's wages are not increasing by anything like 27%, their standard of living is falling. And this chart shows the movement in food inflation over the last 12 months. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've looked at food inflation for a lot of different countries. And the reason why it's a really important metric is that food inflation is indiscriminate. It impacts on everybody. We all have to buy food. But the poorest members of society are the most hardest hit when food prices are rising rapidly because they're spending a much larger percentage of their income on food. And when food rises dramatically, they can't afford to buy as much food as they used to be able to afford because they don't have any savings. So then you get into a crisis situation. And this chart really highlights the problems in Pakistan right now. If we look back 12 months, food inflation was running at 14.7%, which was higher than the general rate of inflation. It then increased gradually over the next 3 months to 17.3%. But in June, we saw a large jump to 26%. That was followed by a jump to 29% in July, 30% in August, 32% in September, 36% in October. The rate of increase dropped back to 31% in November, rose again to 35% in December. And in January, food prices rose by almost 43%. And that's an absolute disaster for a lot of people in Pakistan because they simply can't afford to buy as much food as they were buying this time last year. This chart shows the movement in the Pakistani rupee over the last 12 months and again highlights the problems that Pakistan are facing right now. This time last year, one US dollar was trading for around 175 Pakistani rupees. Today, it's around 269 Pakistani rupees. And the problem that that presents for Pakistan is that they're importing a lot of vital materials. So they're importing oil and food. And all of those substances are trading in US dollars in the international markets. So as the Pakistani rupee falls in value, that means that those products become relatively more expensive for all of the people in Pakistan. But it's actually worse than that, because when we look back over the last 12 months, the price of oil and wheat and all of these vital commodities that Pakistan is buying in rose dramatically following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So the price actually increased in US dollars, so they were costing more. And then on top of that, because the exchange rate of the rupee fell, in relative terms, there was an even bigger increase in the cost. So this has been a real double whammy from Pakistan's point of view. And the value of the Pakistani rupee is actually one of the key negotiating points for the IMF, because historically the Pakistani authorities have been managing the price of the rupee. So they've been going into the markets and buying rupees at times when the value is under pressure to try to maintain it at a certain level. And what this chart shows is that over the course of the last 12 months, there have been three occasions when the value of the rupee was seriously challenged. In July and September, the value fell dramatically. However, the Pakistani central bank stepped in, started to buy rupees in the open market and brought it back under control. And that explains the two large dips in value that you can see on the chart. But what's happened recently is that the controls have been released. So Pakistan is moving towards a free float for the currency. However, because they need to comply with the IMF rules and actually move to a permanent free float and to stop managing the currency and manipulating the price, the price hasn't bounced back. So at the end of January, we saw a fall of around 10% in one day in the value of the Pakistani rupee. And the Pakistani central bank have not rectified that. So it's now trading at a much lower level, which ticks the box in terms of meeting one of the IMF's requirements, but continues to put more pressure on the Pakistani economy because the value of the currency is now lower. So Pakistan urgently needs a fresh injection of cash from the IMF. Now, the current IMF deal was put in place in 2019, and this was originally a $6 billion bailout facility. However, it was extended to $7 billion in 2021 because Pakistan obviously needed more capital. However, the money that's provided by the IMF is a loan, and these loans have terms and conditions. And generally, what the IMF wants to see is that the government have brought in reforms to try to change what's been going on, to put the country onto the right footing so that it can become cash positive. It can actually get itself out of these situations so that it doesn't need to keep coming back to the IMF for more and more loans. And that's really been the sticking point over the course of the last 12 months, because the reforms that the IMF want Pakistan to introduce haven't been acceptable to the government. And the main focus of the reforms that the IMF are looking for are firstly to change the currency situation to a free float, and we discussed that earlier in the video. Secondly, to stop all of the subsidies that the Pakistani government have been introducing for things like fuel and electricity. The IMF refers to this as circular debt because Pakistan has to buy in fuel, so it's paying the market price, but it's not actually selling fuel to all of the consumers at that market price. It's actually providing a discount to all of the people in Pakistan, and that essentially builds up the debt at the governmental level. And unless you stop those subsidies, that will continue forever. So the IMF has told Pakistan that it has to remove all of those subsidies. But of course, that's going to cause a problem because it's going to drive up inflation because we'll see a large increase in prices. And as we discussed earlier in the video, inflation's already at a difficult position for Pakistan. So if they remove all of these subsidies, we will see it jump overnight. And the final factor that the IMF wants Pakistan to introduce is a general increase in taxes. Now, in order to break the deadlock that's been going on for the last 6 months or so and try to get this resolved and get some cash into the Pakistan economy, the IMF flew to the country on the 31st of January. Finance Minister Ishtiaq Dar has confirmed that the Pakistani government has received a memorandum on the terms and conditions from the IMF for the completion of the $7 billion loan programme. The Memorandum of Economic and Financial Policies is a key document that describes all the conditions, steps, and policy measures on the basis of which the two sides declare the staff-level agreement. Once the draft has been shared, the two sides discuss the policy measures outlined in the document, and once these are finalised, the agreement is signed and then forwarded to the IMF's executive board for approval. The finance minister stated, "I am confirming that the draft has been received by us at 9 a.m. Friday. We will completely go through it over the weekend and will hold a virtual meeting with the fund officials. With regards to the changes that the IMF is demanding," he stated, "it is necessary to fix those things. These reforms are painful but necessary. It is a standard process which can neither be shortened, and hopefully they won't extend it unnecessarily." Outlining the policy measures agreed upon between the government and the IMF, he stated that taxes amounting to 170 billion rupees would be imposed. He added, however, that the government would try to ensure that the taxes did not directly burden the common man. To impose the taxes, the government will need to introduce a finance bill or ordinance, depending on the situation at the time. Secondly, we will implement the agreed-upon energy reforms through the federal cabinet. And he added that the primary focus would be on minimising untargeted subsidies and reducing the flow in the gas sector to zero, so there was no addition to the circular debt. Talking about electricity prices, Mr. Dar said the country's generation cost was around 2 to 3 trillion rupees, while only 1.8 trillion was recovered, which resulted in an increase in either the circular debt or fiscal deficit. Talking about the precarious foreign exchange reserve situation, the minister said commitments with friendly countries would be fulfilled and inflows would be received. "There is nothing to worry about," he said. "The state bank is managing." The IMF, in its concluding statement, said the IMF team welcomes the Prime Minister's commitment to implement policies needed to safeguard macroeconomic stability and thanks the authorities for the constructive discussions. So the talks are still ongoing, but no resolution has been agreed yet, and the clock is very much ticking here. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this update because the situation in Pakistan is now becoming critical. It was already critical when I posted the last video, when they only had 30 days worth of cash left in the bank, but now they're down to around 16 days, and that is reducing on a daily basis. So Pakistan really needs to get this IMF deal sorted, and it needs to get that $1 billion of finance in the bank in order to keep buying in fuel and food and all of the other necessities. And if it doesn't manage to do that, we will see exactly what happened in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka was in a very similar situation to this a few months ago. And as I posted in a previous video, it then ran out of cash. It wasn't able to keep making the payments. And what we saw was that oil tankers started to turn away from the island. They wouldn't make those deliveries because the payments hadn't been made. And Sri Lanka ran out of fuel. And we started to have daily blackouts. And of course, that causes further problems because your industry doesn't have any power, so it can't produce anything. So your GDP falls further. So you've got even less cash to buy anything, and so it goes on. And the situation from Sri Lanka's point of view is that they're still in discussions with the IMF, so they haven't finalised that deal, and they're having to rely upon aid from countries like India, China, and Russia. So Pakistan is facing the very real prospect of going down the same road as Sri Lanka, but it's still got a chance of sorting out this deal. And what we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks is that the Pakistani authorities have now started to agree to some of the IMF conditions. Having just spent 10 days in the country and not agreed a deal, the IMF is clearly not prepared to waive all of these terms and conditions and just to give the money over to Pakistan. It wants to see these reforms being brought in so that Pakistan will be in a better position going forward and won't need to keep coming back for more and more bailouts. So we've seen a change in terms of the exchange rate. We've now seen some statements with regards to the power subsidies. And we've now heard the Pakistani Prime Minister announcing that there's going to be additional taxes of 170 billion Pakistani rupees. So Pakistan is now moving rapidly towards this agreement, but it needs to move even quicker over the course of the next week or so to make sure that it doesn't run out of cash, to keep buying in all those essentials to keep the economy moving. So this is obviously a live situation, and I'll keep you informed as to what's happening as soon as I hear any further news. So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me that thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end. And then I'm going to do this. The Pakistan government has received a memorandum on the terms and conditions from the IMF for the completion of a US dollars for the completion of a $7 billion loan program. For the completion of a $7 billion loan program. For the Finance Minister Ishtiaq Dar has